Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 ads and popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see. Doug loves movies.
Hey, everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies, and I love weird, unadjustable microphone stands even more than I love movies sometimes. I just drop my water on the floor. Things are out of control already. I'm so excited about this episode, I can hardly stand it. I mean, John Lithgow isn't here, so don't get crazy. I know. Do you come every week thinking, this might be the Lithgow week? Oh, man. He's making a movie called Rise of the Apes. He plays James Franco's father, and he has Alzheimer's, and apes are taking over the world. Which, if apes are going to take over the world, can you imagine a worse time for it to happen than when you have Alzheimer's? You're sitting around going, wait, were apes always like this? My name is Doug, and I love movies. Doug Loves Movies is coming to you once again from the UCB Theater in Los Angeles before Comedy Death Ray. If you aren't listening to it already, be sure to check out the Comedy Death Ray radio podcast at earwolf.com. They've also got Scarboro Country with the Scarboro brothers, the Scarboros. And so you should check that stuff out there. And it's August 3rd, 2010, as I say this. I had a lot of fun at the Pot the Vote tour of California. We actually played the Leonard Maltin game at a few of the shows. Some shows were a little too rowdy for that, but some were good for it. And, you know, because people in the audience wore name tags and insisted on it. And we've had a couple weeks off since I've been here in the UCB Theater talking about how excited it was about a movie that was coming out. And as I've said on Twitter and specialthing.com and on this very podcast, the episode that was taped at the Del Close Marathon at UCB in New York, I wasn't too crazy about Inception. More on that later, but first, the one guy clapping. Anytime there's a monster hit, when I would go on and on about how much I love Dark Knight, there was an occasional person be like, it's not so good. and I'm that guy with Inception. I'm the guy who doesn't like Inception. And it's like, I don't hate it. Like, people keep writing me, well, how can you hate it? I got a tweet from a guy today. How can you hate Inception and love Kick-Ass? Keep your opinions to yourself. And it's like, well, first of all, they're my opinions, and I have a podcast where opinions are shared, and in my stand-up comedy, and in my life. I say what I like and don't like. And in the case of Inception, I did not hate it. That's too strong of a word for it. I did not get drawn into the world of Inception. And I'm going to try and see it again. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go sit through it again, which I do whenever I feel like, what is everybody else loving about this that I'm missing? You know, maybe I was too high or whatever. You know, I'm willing to give it another chance. I did that with Avatar, and I stood by my original decision. And as time goes on, more and more people will join my camp. The movie's not a timeless classic. It felt old from the second it opened. All right. So anyway, so I love Kick-Ass and I don't love Inception. Doesn't mean the people that made Inception aren't brilliant and did an amazing job. Like, it's an amazing movie. Like, when it gets the same slot that District 9 got for the top 10 movies in the Academy Awards, I will be happy for it. But the Academy is going to give it to the movie about the lesbians because they're both actresses that have been nominated for a million awards. That's how it works, you know? So let's see. I want to do a quick impression, though. This is a black guy in the audience at Inception. Black guy in the audience at Inception. Look out, River! That van is going to hit you! Eventually! All right, my guests tonight are the final three comics of five. Two of them are never going to be able to do this, but the final three comics vying to get a spot in the absolute finals of the Leonard Maltin Game Tournament of Championships. Please welcome Scott Aukerman, Matt Bronger, and Dana Gould. Yeah. I said to Scott in the green room, sit as far away from me as possible. And not only did he pick the chair right next to me, but he cozied up quite nice.
Hi, Doug.
That's what Scott Aukerman is going to sound like for the entire podcast. Matt Bronger.
Hey, buddy.
That's what he sounds like. And Dana Gould is here.
Hi, Doug.
Hi.
I'd like to start with a visual impression. Here's everybody when they testify at Congress.
Yes, sir.
Finally, we've had all these microphones lined up at a table, and that's finally somebody's done an impression that's not for the listeners. Mm-hmm. A visual impression. A lot of the guests come on this show and then don't speak into the microphones because it is a very intimate theater, but it gets frustrating. Now Scott's going to do that. You're just a troublemaker. On every level.
Personally.
Take the microphone out of your pocket, Scott Aukerman.
Oh, this one.
And tell everybody how much you loved Inception.
I did love Inception.
Defend that piece of shit.
You motherfucker.
Wake up and defend that crap.
You
liked it, right?
I liked it a lot, actually, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. See?
It's
like everybody.
I liked it a lot because, you know what? It made my heart think.
See, my heart did not get involved at all, either beating faster or thinking of love and thoughts of romance. Matt Bronger, what did you think?
Of Inception?
No. Let's talk about Ramona and Beezus.
Loved it! Pissed I got Inception. Cut out of that.
At the end of Ramona and Beezus, the top does drop, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's no question about it at the end of that one.
I liked it, but I was really confused. But I'm going to see
it
again.
But you enjoyed your confusion.
Yeah.
You're all right with it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Dana Gould has not seen it because he has children.
Yes, but my joke would be, I was left so emotionally wrung out, I sat in my chair like a raggedy lesbian.
And my advice would be, work on that just a little bit.
I have more.
Before you release it.
I was writing that as I was saying it. I started that without knowing what it was.
That should be the title of your next record.
Great if you had lesbian, if you had lesbian Andy,
as I was saying that.
I like a lesbian Andy.
Me, 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 me. All right, I'm ready.
Here's another visual.
Oh, you want to start the show?
This could also be like a Dr. McCoy.
Hey, everybody.
This could also be like a Dr. McCoy thing.
It is.
There, more no more cancer.
It's a Star Trek.
More visual jokes. Try to think of some more of those.
For the radio.
And save them for television yeah. or
Here's
some
my
show
impression
live
of
streams.
Jack Palance smiling.
Perfect.
Nailed. So what have you seen lately, Dana Gould? Have you been on a long plane flight to go get a baby or something?
I have, in fact. I saw Inception. I particularly loved Leonardo DiCaprio's...
Are we in Inception right now? I thought we just...
I'm sleeping.
Yeah.
You did see it?
I did see it.
On a plane or regular?
No, in a theater.
Oh, okay.
In a theater. I enjoyed Leonardo DiCaprio's one-note, wooden, and joyless performance.
See,
he's
that's
really
part of
our Roger Moore.
Yeah, but that's part of the. That's part of the key to my not caring for it so much. Is I thought, wouldn't this be awesome if the characters were interesting? You know, yeah. like if I cared about them in any way at yeah. all. Like, and I normally like Leo quite a bit. And
Doug Juno else. Is inceptioning Leo DiCaprio. That fucking blew your mind right there.
It did.
And there is no doubt to that.
At all. It's
yeah.
Junoing?
Juno is fucking inceptioning him. What? You ever think about that?
No, not until right now.
The reality of the movie is fake. It's a dream, and Juno got in there, and she's not pregnant anymore inside the dream.
That's how she got rid of her baby?
Yeah, yeah. And she has an inception abortion.
I'm so glad that went somewhere. It was like, oh
exactly
my God, Google Maps,
to,
get us there.
Come on.
But it was awesome when we arrived and then we got out and we talked.
We had a good time. It was like Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, so the yams were especially.
If the Memento guy was in Inception, you could walk into the movie and change their talk to them. It would be so many levels. You could go into the movie.
Now,
and
you wrote
have
that, though,
time.
3 weeks ago.
I wrote that with my team.
I wrote a couple drafts.
Team.
He wrote that one in less time than it takes to say it.
Exactly.
He writes really fast.
I wrote that in the time
slower.
It took my pee hole to part, but before the urine came out.
Pee hole parting time.
Heavenly pee-hole. Shades of night are falling. It's pee hole parting time.
I was on a plane yesterday, and a lady
I'm a
next
grown
to
man.
Me. The lady next to me said, "There's some old guy in first class who's famous," and I was like, "I don't know who it is. I didn't see him when I was walking in." And I did see an old guy, and I don't think he was famous. But she goes, "I think it's Charlton Heston." And I had to break the news to her.
Yeah. Is
this, oh, he's dead.
Yeah. Is this the plane to heaven?
Not him.
He's not on the plane because he's fucking dead, lady. Unless they're shooting Weekend at Bernie's. What would it be, three or four? this that would be awesome if Andrew McCarthy and that other guy. I love how people in the audience said that Jonathan Silverman. I said and that other guy because it's funnier than Jonathan Silverman, and I couldn't remember Jonathan Silverman.
Why didn't you say that other single guy?
Because that would really get it would get that if I said that.
Fuck you! I wrote that for Scott.
Thank you, Dana. You're doing great.
Good passing jokes to everybody under the table, Dana. Take a bullet yourself.
Come on, kid, say it.
No, I won't.
So, how'd you find time to fit in Inception with all the kids and whatnot?
We got a little. We have a sitter. You know, it's a $90 event when we go to the movies. We have to coordinate, and people come over to the house. And then we sneak out. Light?
Times are tough for the Dana Gould household.
I got a lot. I got a lot going on.
$90, a bit of a stretch for...
No, I didn't say I was worried about it. It's just a lot of money for, you know... I still appreciate a dollar.
Sure. You know what the... How much does a gallon of milk cost?
My wife's not going to work forever. I might have to...
Let's not
check
in
at one point.
Wife into this. Let's not drag her into this because I've got a lot of HBO issues.
Oh boy,
and it's HBO is not movies. It's HBO.
And it's not TV.
So it's not TV either. It's this weird nether area. Have you been to the movies lately, Matt Bronger?
I saw Winter's Bone. Most
I saw that.
Did you see it?
Saw that too.
Hilarious.
Awesome.
yeah, it was amazing. But yeah. God, she skinned an actual squirrel.
Yeah,
see that? She
nice.
Pulled his guts out.
Spoiler alert.
Very realistic depiction of white trash in that movie.
Yep, yep. I'm thinking about going as a Teardrop for Halloween.
Oh, good, nice.
You know. I'm going as only for people that
and the uncle.
What did Teardrop Sorry. Look like in the movie? He's like a meth head or something.
He was on Deadwood, wasn't he?
He's on Deadwood.
Right, real lean guy.
What the fuck is his name? He played two parts on Deadwood.
Sam.
No. Oh, John Hawks. You're right. Not that other guy. John Hawks.
That's him, right?
He's in that one thing called The Other Thing. And
He's like the crazy uncle,
Perfect Storm.
Right? The uncle guy.
He was the guy in the opening of From Dusk Till Dawn, too. He was the guy that walks into the convenience store at the opening of Dusk Till Dawn.
Oh, I don't know. You blew my mind on that one. I don't know. I'm trying. Like, you can visibly see my brain clanking along.
He has
a
great line. He's talking about somebody who has a retarded kid, and he goes, "Now, come on, man. Kid like that belongs in a circus. They shouldn't be putting him to work in a diner." That's a great line.
Then doesn't he get shot in the head by the end of that scene?
He does get shot in the head, and he dates a girl who is part of a singing. No, this is how I know it. Dates a girl that's part of like a kid's birthday singing duo because I've written them checks while he stood by politely.
Oh, nice.
He's also in Eastbound and Down now.
Yes, he is.
That's his brother.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The rational guy.
Funny. So. Nice show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, great.
Like, great.
See.
Yeah, I love that show. Have you been to the movie, Scott Aukerman?
Good. I saw a really great movie last night. I forget what it was called. It was about a woman who was looking for love, and she was choosing between two men, and she chose one man instead, and he got down on his knees and proposed to her. And I forget what it was called, but the roses were involved. And
oh, you were watching The Bachelorette on television.
Oh, that's right.
That's what you were doing.
Yeah, that was really good.
I heard Oprah Winfrey doing a sequel to Eat, Pray, Love called Eat, Pray, Eat.
You should be writing for the Oscars this year.
I fucking stepped on that one. Can you say it again, Mr. Bruce Valanche?
Thank you. Hang on. Let me do the visual.
Radio silence.
Jesus Christ.
Christ.
For those of you who bothered to come, I will do that like Bruce Valanche.
I hear that Oprah Winfrey is writing a sequel to Eat, Pray, Love called Eat, Pray, Eat.
It's too bad you couldn't. Yes, go ahead. It's too bad
How long was I standing?
It's too bad you couldn't slip into a tight t-shirt that says Meatball Baby with an arrow pointing down.
Or a blue dress with a white stain, and then say Monica, and then you're stuck with it for another hour and a half. Which I've also
should have slipped that one to Bronger.
No, that's how he did his one man show. He walked out wearing a blue dress and a white stain on it, and he just walked out and he went Monica. And
why?
Then
did you
that
see,
was it? And then he
did
proceeded
you see
to
his
do the
one
rest
man
of
show?
The one man show. No, but I have this on very good authority.
Oh, okay.
A gay dude told me, so I know it's real.
I saw him once on the street, and he was walking to his car, and he got to his car, and there was a parking ticket on it, and he very theatrically ripped the parking ticket up and threw it into the air like he was Rip Taylor.
You know, I would say this.
That's why he's called Rip. But now I get it.
He's a lovely guy.
Uh huh.
He's a lovely guy.
Uh-huh. Who, Blanche?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a lovely guy.
All right.
All that's right. Why I made fun of him, because he's never done
whenever
me anything.
Whenever somebody's lovely, I like do the most disgusting impression of them.
Yeah, exactly.
I possibly can, but at least the listeners didn't see it. So if he hears,
exactly,
it, he right. won't know. It'll be fine.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody likes him. No one likes me.
They haven't announced the. Who do you think's going to host the next Oscars? They haven't said yet, but
oh, I can't wait.
Could be anybody. Nobody cares about.
I as soon as they announce that, that is the minute I come down with Oscar fever. I just cannot wait.
This is about the time of year where I drive up the end of Beechwood and I look at the Hollywood sign and I go, Hollywood, you better think up a good host for Oscar night.
Mm-hmm. I just thought of a good one. They should have Daryl Hammond as Sean Connery hosting the Oscars. I think that would be awesome. That'd be a lot of fun.
What about a guy named Oscar? Is a guy named Oscar ever hosted?
That Oscar Nunez could host it.
Yeah. In Oscar Goldman from the $6 million Man.
Yeah, sure. Why not open up the Oscar hosting duties to fictional characters?
And he's painted
it's a great
gold.
Idea.
Like have him look like the actual Oscar. Have the person completely gold.
It's even better.
And their hands clasped in front of them.
I'll do you one further. Sylvester Stallone as Oscar
ever.
From the movie Oscar.
Yes, great film.
Made gold with Oscar.
Perfect.
If we're doing fictional characters, what about like Garfield or Scooby-Doo. They haven't worked a lot since
Oscar the Grouch, fictional character named Oscar.
Perfect.
Or that. Let's write it up. And you know what Oscar would say? He'd come out and go, I missed the last part of the show because I was in the can.
Yeah.
Bam!
You always got
Slam Dunkaroonie.
You always got more laughs at that than I did.
Clap in front of the mic for that one.
But I Love Trash would finally get the dance routine it deserves.
What did I see lately? I saw Salt. Did you guys see Salt?
No.
Sea Salt?
No. I'm afraid she'll snap in half. I can't watch.
Oh, yeah, she is very skinny.
Very skinny.
And she's fighting all the time.
She's falling on trucks
and
shit.
Why would those twigs snap once in a while?
She's falling on her boobs, though.
Yeah, she totally boob plants every landing whenever she jumps from truck to truck. Oh, I wonder if she'll make it to this next truck. Oh, she did. Wow. How about another one? There it is. Great. Like, I like Brad Pitt a lot, but I've never missed him more because Saul was like Mr. and Mrs. Smith with just one person running around and no clear evidence anyone else cares. Like, it's just a lot of... But the one thing that I noticed in that movie was that she has a tendency to... You know, she switches her outfits because you can't recognize a lady in a new outfit. No. And when she's on the lam, you know, just switch up, like, just have a different style that you pick off of a rack as you run through someone's apartment.
And it fits perfect.
Well, yeah, it fits. You know, she's always grabbing through the whole movie. She's grabbing pieces of clothes and slipping into them.
That's part of her spy training is to be able to look at labels and see what size everything
is. Yeah, yeah. No,
while
yeah.
Running.
Don't look at anything. Just grab stuff off the rack because you have that. You have the training.
Mm-hmm.
You have the mind for that's my size.
Doug is pointing out his mind right now
yes.
for the home listener.
Pointing out my mind. Mm-hmm. So now I realize that. So stupid. For the rest of my life, whenever... Hey, where'd my shirt go? Oh, some super spy ran by.
Someone needed
a fucking change of clothes, and that was opportunity meets thievery.
Yeah.
And then you turn on twisting in the wind.
You turn on a movie, and there's Angelina Jolie wearing the meatball baby with an arrow pointing down shirt. You're like, that's where it went.
That's the other thing. She grabs really stylish shit the whole time. She should grab some stupid I'm with Dummy shirt or something.
Yeah, that's some Big Johnson t-shirt or something out of Mervyn's. Remember those? Those aren't around anymore.
I have no idea what you're
talking
about.
The hell am I talking about?
Big Johnson shirts from Mervyn's?
From Mervyn's, specifically.
Okay, all right.
I don't know why I picked
that.
Or TJ Maxx, wherever you go. Ross?
Wherever I go to people send me clothes and then I wear them. Yeah,
should we do the TJ Maxx theme before we move on?
No. Then we'll have to pay for it.
I don't know.
Oh, good point.
Yeah, and by pay for it, I mean suffer. Listen.
Hey, yo. Jokes.
Boy, those
and fun.
Theme songs really get into my head, though. Those, especially daytime ones. You know, like 588-2300.
Mervyn's. Oh, wait. What? Sorry.
The creepy guy.
Call 1-800-GENERAL now to get that insurance. General now.
General now. Well, you won't get 11
from Toyota of Orange. Oh, yeah. You
do. I
could have got a lemon. I love that. The guy going, yeah. I could have got a lemon. This is a Southern California thing, but I could have got a lemon.
Is it Cal Worthington?
He says, I wouldn't have got a lemon.
I wouldn't have got a lemon?
Yeah, it's a buyer's remorse.
I already fucked up.
Yep.
And you brought me down to the studio to cut a commercial for your car lot?
I want
to
show you the car you could have had.
Oh,
no, you fucked yourself.
I couldn't have not gotten a lemon?
Yeah. Yeah.
Making this far more complicated.
From Toyota of Orange?
Yeah. Right where we are.
I went to Toyota right next door.
Oh. Yeah, you shouldn't have.
What the fuck?
I'm sorry to bring you in after you've already spent all your money on that car, but just wanted you to know you really screwed yourself.
It's all good.
when we fear the Japanese because of their economic might and we were trembling at the feet of Toyota, there was a commercial about how great Fords were now. And at the end, they had an angry Japanese guy reading about the Ford. And he went, how many standard features? 43!
So I thought of
the angriest number.
It was like Gung-Ho in reverse.
Exactly. Yes. It was like Dream Team.
I hope
Michael Keaton movies is a category in the ball game, because you guys will tear that shit up.
He's the voice of Ken in Toy
Story. I can name Multiplicity and No Names. I came up with a new review for Inception. It's like The Dark Knight, but without Heath Ledger. Yeah, think about that and go to sleep and then dream about it. Let's play the Leonard Maltin game, you guys.
Okay.
That's what we're here for. All of that was just filler. This is what it's really about. This is the Tournament of Championships. A couple people that could never make it to a Tournament of Championships are Anthony Jeselnik and Jerry O'Connell, because they're very busy. You guys are free enough to do this. After a lot of, I had to make a lot of effort to work it out so all three of you could be here on the same night. Whoever wins tonight will go on to play in the finals of the Tournament of Champions, whenever we can arrange that, against Ricky Lindholm from Garfunkel and Oates and Jimmy Pardo from Jimmy Pardo.
from Mr. and Mrs. Pardo.
Yeah.
The Chicago Pardo.
Never not funny Pardo. And so it'll be a very exciting show, and you guys should be very excited at your chance to be a part of it.
You know.
And we have name tags right here. So we got Michael, Scott Aukerman. Michael, you're going to be playing for him.
What's up?
Remember that?
Remember that?
I do remember, because people strangely still say it. And then it's like if you had a commercial where you coined hello, and then like, oh my God, I can't believe people are still saying that. Andrew, Matt Bronger will be playing for you.
Hello.
He's got a great comedy album called Soak Up the Night. And Dana Gould is on the end there. Who would you pick? Somebody from the front row, Dana, that for you to play for with a name tag on. Someone with a name tag.
Sure, you don't have. Oh yeah, no, you do have a name tag. What's your
What's
name?
It say?
Lauren. Where's the beef?
Wait a second.
Remember
what
that?
Just happened?
Remember that? I thought we were doing popular catchphrases.
Oh well.
I wasn't making
we're
a comment
about
phrases Lauren.
That still sort of exist. Like nobody.
I'm sorry.
The
I'm sorry.
Time somebody says
I'm,
that.
I'm,
now.
Am I leaving now? Is that what just happened? Is that what just happened?
You've been evicted.
Oh, the catchphrase thing.
You know,
I
for a guy who
one.
Has emailed me.
Of any of us, I lost.
You
that
would
one.
Know that my email address is clarapellerfan@aol.com. You know.
I would want to go as deep as we can into this well of old stupid reference.
I learned. Although Rob what? Gets an award for having the biggest name tag, but it's not.
Rob took a piece of notebook paper and folded it in half, and wrote his name on it, and then stuck it on his chest.
Yeah.
It's a napkin. Okay,
it's a napkin. But it just reminds me of so many six-digit phone numbers I got from women. Hey.
Let's play the Leonard Maltin game. We know who
they
we're
don't
playing
work.
For. it's very. I'm very excited because. I had some problems with the Leonard Maltin app for a while, and I got a new phone, and now those problems didn't carry over into the new phone.
Oh, thank God.
That's what I'm saying. It really worked out great. I went and saw my friend Matt Myra. He works at the Genius Bar at the Apple Store here in town, and he really hooked me up by charging me $500 for a new phone.
That is pressure, though, when you work this. Is there a Genius available? You?
It's funny, it's hard to pick a font that says that you know is sarcastic,
mm-hmm.
but it's the Genius Bar
right.
is what it actually is.
Right.
Like nobody there, they're all stupid.
That's yeah.
Ironic.
Yeah. All right.
Why? Why did I explain that?
Where's the beef?
Did we talk about how this looks like Star Trek already? Oh yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did.
All right.
At least
what you talking
at least
about,
that's
Scott?
Sort of a movie reference.
Well, isn't that special?
I'll catchphrase you in the ground if you want to play that game. I can't think of any. Okay,
I'm from Jersey. That was maybe the worst.
Is that the Jersey
that
Shore?
That was my favorite was Joe Piscopo
the
character.
The most ghastly
that
catchphrase.
That was my favorite.
That was
like,
the, that was the yeah. That
yeah,
was
that
was to
character.
That was to catchphrases what the Holocaust was to human endeavors. It was just the worst example of anything you could do.
Okay. Let's start with Scott Aukerman. Would you like to play a movie that's a musical biopic? Or, which, by the way, there's a lady on MSNBC today talking about a new biopic that's coming out, and she kept saying biopic. She kept going, oh, this is going to be a great biopic. It's weird that, oh, it's because the guy that did Inconvenient Truth, Davis Guggenheim, is doing the biopic of Justin Bieber. And they were talking about it on MSNBC, and she kept saying biopic, and I was just like, oh my God, you're the entertainment reporter.
Don't you?
Biopic. Quit saying biopic. So we have...
It's okay if Wolf Blitzer says it.
Yeah.
But not the entertainment reporter.
Yeah, like Wolf Blitzer is like, well, why is he even... Who wrote that down for him to say? What happened in a music biopic that he had to talk about? So that's category number one.
Got it.
Then there's westerns, and then
Pass.
There's war movies. Would you like a biopic, a western, or a war movie? Musical in nature, the biopic.
Biopic.
Here we go. Would you like a biopic from 1980, 1986, or 1991?
91.
All right.
I know it.
Robots are great at this game. The bidding starts with Scott, then it'll move to Dana, and then go clockwise from there.
Do I get to hear a description?
Yes, you do. Len gives it 2.5 stars.
Ooh.
Fairly accurate, I would say.
Okay.
But I loved Kick-Ass and didn't like Inception. So keep that in mind. He calls it vivid. And he says that the director appears briefly in the film. And okay. It's 2.5 stars, and it came out in 91, and it's a musical biopic. And there are 21 names. How many names do you think you can get it in? Scott Aukerman.
I think I know it.
Oh.
Actually.
All right. So then you, of course, know that you can say zero names, or you can say, I can get it in X number of negative names. And here's the twist
negative
on negative names.
What's this now?
Here's the twist on negative names. You go, I can name it negative names 1 or 2 or 3, but then you have to name the cast from the top down.
In the order?
That in the right order. That
oh,
many
Jesus.
Names.
How many,
so if you say, if you know who the star is, you could say, I could do it in one negative name, and bam, you'll probably get it. But as soon as you get into 2 or 3, you get into a tricky area.
Okay.
He usually uses the billing that was used in the film.
Yeah, okay.
As the order.
And does that get me extra points, or is that just for bragging?
It's just for winning the point. You can go right to negative names. Well, because the guy next to you might know it, especially now you've sat around giving him a lot of time to think.
All right. Well, you know what? I know 2 negative names on it. If this is the movie I'm going to... If this is the one that I'm thinking of, I can go 2 negative names. I can name it in 2 negative names.
All right. So
balls out.
Now we go down to Dana Gould down the end. You could say more negative names or say Scott Aukerman. Name that movie and those 2 negative names.
I'm going to say Scott Aukerman in that movie in the two negative names.
If
I'm
you do
hold
this,
my thumb up. I'm going to hold my thumb up.
Congratulations for getting the point.
If you get the name of the movie right, if you get it right and it's the one.
What are
I'm
you
thinking,
talking about? All right.
If you get it, how many
Aukerman,
times red okay. equals
what
five?
Is the name of the movie?
I have no idea what's going on.
What is the name of the movie?
Is it What's Love Got to Do with It?
No.
Fuck! Yes.
Okay, and who are the two names?
Angela Bassett and Larry Fishburne.
No, but you could have... Oh, okay. That'd be weird for you to guess names from another movie.
Oh.
But the two names I was looking for are Val Kilmer and Frank Whaley.
Oh, The Doors. Oh,
the Doors is right. That's right.
Motherfucker. When has What's Love Got to Do with It? 93?
I don't know
Fuck
the year
you.
Offhand. It was funny too.
95.
The
Shut
voice
the
of the audience
up.
Was even like, yeah, was questioned it. Not even
yeah,
like, if somebody went 95, fuck you. But 95, fuck you. You should have been fuck you. All right,
buddy.
So,
I'm sorry. I was close though. You gotta admit.
Yeah, you totally.
By close, you mean off by 2 to 5 years.
you thought it was one movie. Turns out it was a different movie.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, see you later.
Good night. Let's start with Matt Bronger this time, because Dana Gould got the point. Would you like to play westerns, war movies, or, in honor of the release of Kick-Ass today on DVD, Nicolas Cage movies?
Oh, yeah, Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage movies. Here we go. Would you like one from...
Are there any movies that aren't Nicolas Cage movies?
Not anymore.
Not in my heart, anyway. 1987, 1997, or 2007?
97.
Here we go.
It could be any one of 371 films.
I know, yeah, kind of fucked.
He's
myself.
Made a few movies. I'll give you a hint. His hair is weird. No, that's just a generic. That doesn't count. Leonard gives it 3 stars.
In this movie, he talks softly and then inexplicably screams and then goes back to talking softly.
His mouth is agape and he shakes his head around weirdly.
Alma! All right. 1987, 3 stars from Len.
Wait, 97.
97.
Yeah.
That's what you said, right?
97.
97.
Yeah. Didn't you just say 87?
I'm saying 97 now.
Okay.
Just... and I'm going to stick to it.
Cool.
97. He says, Len says that it's, doesn't know when to stop. Oh, this movie, it doesn't know when to stop.
Okay.
Okay, and then he also says...
eventually stops.
It's mostly a description of the plot, so I don't want to give too much away. He says 2/3 of it are terrific.
Okay.
God, which is 97. Pretty much the same clue as, but the film doesn't know when to stop.
I think I know what it is.
All right, but let's tell you how many names you have to go with.
Okay.
12 names.
Okay.
Now, if you think you know what it is, and you think you
know
a few of the leads, and the order that they would receive billing, then go ahead and go for negative names, or you could go straight to 0 names.
Well, I'll just do 0 because I don't know the order.
Okay. So then we go to Scott Aukerman, who can try to do some negative names or say name that movie. You guys are intense players. This is exciting.
I feel like... I know what it is, and I
can I tell you something real quick?
Yeah.
It's not What's Love Got to Do with It.
Then I am way off.
Remember that scene where Nicolas Cage showed up and he was like...
Is he in On the Waterfront?
No, I know what this is. I can do it in 2 negative names.
Look at you.
Yeah. They got to be in the right order. Dana Gould?
Okay. Oh, name it.
He says name it.
Champion.
After a lot of consideration... Dana Gould screams, name it. All right, so what's the movie?
Face Off.
That's correct.
Oh.
Yeah, now what order are they listed in? First to second.
John Travolta, Nicolas Cage.
That is correct, Scott Aukerman!
Excellent.
Holy
job.
Shit! That is exciting.
And as we know, now from the news, facial transplants are not that easy or successful. You still come out looking like John Merrick.
Or Roger
Ebert. Elephant Man.
Yes.
Yeah. Elephant Man, for those of you that don't know.
There are a lot of... And here it is, the world's first transplant. Can we see the before one more time? Could you put up the before again?
Can we just start saying Roger Ebert instead of the Elephant Man?
Yeah, I think so. Okay.
All because I'm of just Vincent saying Gallo. To expedite things.
Vincent Gallo didn't put
he
a curse on
the have a crazy, hey. Weirdo, lumpy hey. Hump and a Look. Weird walk and...
He does have
genitalia.
Giant. Yes, he does.
In fairness,
how do you know?
In fairness, they both grew up in cages.
Fucking fairness.
Nicholas Cages.
Boom.
Hey-hoo.
Bring it back to Basement. Movies. All right, so you get a point there for that.
That was a good one.
Amazing nice move, work. Scott Aukerman. So it's Scott 1, Dana 1. We'll go back to. We'll start with Dana on this one. Wait. Yeah, Dana.
Yep.
Would you like a war movie, a Nicolas Cage movie, or one of my favorite categories, in theaters now?
A war movie.
War movie. All right. Would you like one from 1987, 1999, or 2010? Dana Gould.
2000. I'll have the... What was the first one? 1987? Yeah, I like that one.
Okay, old school. 3 stars. Not enough, my opinion. 87. It's an adaptation of a book, according to Len. I don't know for sure. And he says also about it that it's compelling and well-acted. Why only 3 stars then, Len? And there are 8 names. It's a war movie from 87. 3 stars.
87.
What'd I say, 87?
87 or 97?
87.
87.
That's what you picked.
War movie.
No discussing it in the audience.
Negative one name.
Negative one name, he says. So that means he can name the lead actor in that movie. We come down here to Scott Aukerman.
Oh, no, wait. No. I think I take that back.
What?
I don't know if he's the first name or not. Shit.
You're going to withdraw a bid?
No, I'll do two names.
Who's first? Who negative do you know is names. Not first name?
I'll do negative two names. Can I do that?
You said and negative one name.
Why are you holding your microphone like a old gay man in the 40s smoking a cigarette? Well,
first of all, he was.
I'm going to
Scott.
Get in my tub and have a soak, and then I'm going to write my column. And I don't want to be you tomorrow morning when I open up the newspaper.
Scott, so you know the order of the names?
Yeah, I think I do.
We go this way, right? I'm going the right way.
Well, I don't know, because last time
Face
I,
Off was a warm-up.
Last time I said...
Oh, if it's the other way, then go to Matt. He says negative one name, Matt, and he's not sure who
no,
the lead is.
No, he changed it to two, didn't he?
No, he wanted two. To, but I wouldn't let him.
Well, okay, so negative one name, I know.
He did
negative
bid one name,
name. That's good.
You can't be...
All right. Yeah, do it. I don't know. I don't know it.
All right, we could show off and do two names if you want, but...
Sean Penn, Michael J. Fox, Casualties of War?
That was my guess.
No, no, and no. On all three of those. I'll read the cast, and you guys can jump in when you think you know
it. It's not Full Metal Jacket.
Correct. It's Full Metal Jacket.
That's why right. Not four stars?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's bananas.
See, that's a terrible clue.
That's B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
That's why I thought when you were like I wasn't sure who was first because it is kind of Matthew Modine and then the next name is Adam Baldwin. I don't think you would have gotten that.
No.
That he was, you know, you think you'd give think second billing to Lee or
entire
Lee or
movie
me or
entire movie shot in England.
That was the final line of the review, filmed in England, and I didn't say that cuz I knew it would be a giveaway to Dana Gould.
True. The man with no life.
Because he knows stuff like that.
So Matt gets the point for that.
Yeah, so everybody's got a point. Whoever wins this next one.
Hey!
Whoever gets the next one.
I won for losing. I
hope wins. So we'll start with Scott.
I hope it's movies I was in.
Odd man out on that one.
Mystery man.
Mystery. Schmizzle. Scott Aukerman. Nicolas Cage in theaters now or musical bio pictures? Take your time.
Scott's thinking.
Shit. Comedy Death Race starts in 20 minutes.
musical biopics.
All right. I'm glad you
I should do Nick.
I'm glad you really thought it through. What? What do you want?
I feel like I should do Nick Cage, but I get weird on the years of those.
All right. So which one's it going to be? Who are you playing for?
Charity.
No. Michael?
Don't call Michael.
You play for Michael.
Yeah, I'm calling Michael.
Michael, which one should
nice
he do?
Guy.
Which one do you think he should do? Nicolas Cage or
I won on Nicolas Cage, so maybe I should do Nicolas Cage. Okay.
Yeah, Cage. Consistency is the hobgoblin of foolish minds. Emerson.
When did this become Doug Loves Poetry?
When did this become a slam of any sort?
I know, right? Okay.
I'm going to the Limerick Slam in the men's room.
Okay, so you get the remaining years are 2007 or 87?
87.
Here we go. 3.5 stars from Leonard Maltin. He is absolutely wrong. This is the most 4-star movie I could practically think of. And Nicolas Cage is in it, and it's written by some people. And look out for those chase scenes, he says. And he also calls it flaky. So yeah, so Leonard Maltin confused this movie with a croissant. There are 9 names, and we start the bidding with Mr. Scott Aukerman from Earwolf.com.
Chase scenes. Fuck, that fucks me up.
That's the intent of the clues.
Chase scenes.
Confused
still could be
and annoy.
What I'm thinking of, but I'm gonna say I'll get it in 9 names.
9 names. Dana Gould.
Oh, I can get it in now. 5 names.
Matt Bronger.
I'm gonna go 87, you said, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna go.
Valley Girl.
Oh shit! I can feel it.
Totally,
settle down.
I'm probably totally wrong, but I'll do negative one name.
Ah!
No,
Yeah. It can't be counting him, so I'll do one.
Name that movie.
I mean, technically two, because we know,
yeah.
You know he's in it.
I think we all understand what you mean. What's the name of the movie?
Does Nicolas Cage have to be in this movie?
Name of the movie?
Yeah.
Raising Arizona.
And who's second billed?
Holly Hunter.
The great John Good. I'm just kidding. Yeah, it's Holly Hunter and Nicolas Cage, Raising Arizona. We have our third champion for our Tournament of Champions. It'll be Matt Bronger against... versus... It's okay. Dana, you're still a very accomplished player. And Scott Aukerman, Hall of Fame player with that negative two names.
Thank you.
Yeah, right?
You know?
It was impressive.
Really good. Thank you.
I thought The Doors was Great Balls of Fire.
When you saw it?
No. Yes.
Bill, I was really high when I saw it, too. But
Bill Graham, who was a consultant on the movie The Doors, the legendary concert promoter Bill Graham, said, and I was in his company because he also owned the Punchline in San Francisco. Said,
were you in the helicopter when he died?
I was. I came back from the dead because I was trilining the Walnut Creek Punchline the following week.
Trilining.
With D'Alan Moss and Alex Reed. No, but he said, although he was
is this story less than 15 minutes?
Well, if you'll let me get to the line. It was just funny. He was a paid consultant on the movie. He goes, Oliver Stone, the guy got a whole fucking decade wrong. 60, he got the whole thing wrong. How'd he get a whole fucking decade wrong? That's what I want to know. He didn't even get something right by accident. He got the whole fucking thing wrong.
Wow.
May he rest in peace.
God love him.
He was the world's foremost Gary Marshall impersonator, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
No, there's a new one in town. His name is Paul Tompkins. We have, for you, my friend, winner, Andrew, you win a copy of Dana Gould's The Veteran Comedian's first ever DVD, directed by Bob Odenkirk. It's called Let Me Put My Thoughts in You, and I'm sure that's available on Amazon and whatnot.
Also,
did you bring one, Matt?
I forgot to
bring one because he doesn't smoke as much pot as I do. He'll hook you up with a copy of Soak Up the Night. And Scott Aukerman will also be in touch to give you...
Yeah,
what are you going to give
me your address? I'll give you one of our new Enigma Force 5 t-shirts from Comedy Death Ray Radio, earwolf.com.
Yeah.
Nice.
Those are going to be nice. And you also win a Two Trunk to Dweet t-shirt. And yeah, I throw the winning items. You get a copy of a poster for my new CD, Doug Benson, Hypocritical Oaf, coming out, plopping,
Doug,
on August 31st.
Could you do a poster just like that, but where you're hugging E.T., the old Michael Jackson?
There is, in another picture inside the album, there's a stuffed bear hovering over my shoulder, but that photograph was taken by Robin Von Swank, who is awesome. She also did the
Comedy Death Ray calendars.
And so if you have any reason to get some photographed in Los Angeles, get in touch with her. And do you guys have anything you want to plug before we go?
This is Scott Aukerman.
Things coming up?
Earwolf.com, our new website for Comedy Death Ray Radio, and also Scarborough Country.
Yeah, you can listen to both of those shows there, and you'll be adding shows. And
adding new shows. Yeah, we got a bunch of stuff coming up that we're very excited about.
All right, that's earwolf.com. It's like Airwolf, but if you completely misspelled air, two out of the three letters. Matt Bronger, what do you got coming up?
Hey, just every Monday I host a radio show called Matt's Radio with Matt Dwyer, and we always have a comedian guest on and or a musician. We play some tunes, and it's fun. So tune into...
What's it called again? Matt Radio?
Yeah, mattsradio.com.
Mattsradio.com.
And podcasts on iTunes and stuff.
So. And I was going to maybe be a guest on there. I'd still like to at some point in the future. Who are we playing for over here for her?
Yes, Lauren.
And Dana Gould, what do you got?
I'm hosting the Oscars this year.
Wow.
All right, an interesting choice for I'm finding out who they want me to call shithead at the end of the show, because that's the second and third prize for playing in our game. You really don't have anything coming up you want to promote?
It's all pending. I'll be performing at Comedy Death Ray in about 25 minutes.
So stick around,
come on down. If it's Inception, you could do it, because you could dream you were here.
Thanks a lot to the players for the very exciting Leonard Maltin Tournament of Championships.
Thank you, Doug. Let me be the first to say thank you.
And as always, Jimmy Pardo is a shithead, and Dana Gould is a shithead.
Oh, my bullshit.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, because Doug loves...